6 and verse 45. And immediately Jesus compelled his disciples to go on board ship and to go on before to the other side to Bethsaida while he sends crowds away. And having dismissed them, he departed into the mountain to pray. And when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone upon the land. And seeing them labouring and rowing, for the wind was contrary to them, about the fourth watch of the night he comes to them walking on the sea. He would have passed them by. But they, seeing him walking on the sea, thought that it was an apparition, and cried out. For all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he spoke with them, and says to them, Be of good courage. It is I, be not afraid. And he went up to them into the ship, and the wind fell. And they were exceedingly beyond measure astonished in themselves, and wondered, for they understood not through the loaves, for their heart was hardened. In John's Gospel, chapter 21. John chapter 21, verse 1. After these things, Jesus manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And he manifested himself thus. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael, who was of Cana of Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter says to them, I go to fish. And they say to him, We also come with thee. They went forth and went on board, and that night took nothing. And early morn, already breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. The disciples, however, did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus therefore says to them, Children, have ye anything to eat? They answered him, No. And he said to them, Cast the net to the right side of the ship, and ye will find. And they cast therefore, and they could no longer draw it from the multitude of fishes. That disciple therefore whom Jesus loved says to Peter, It is the Lord. Simon Peter therefore, having heard that it was the Lord, girded his overcoat on him, for he was naked, and cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in the small boat, for they were not far from the land, but somewhere about 200 cubits, dragging the net of fishes. When therefore they went out on the land, they see a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. And Jesus says to them, Bring of the fishes which ye now have taken. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of fishes, 153, and though there were so many, the net was not rent. Jesus says to them, Come and dine. But none of the disciples dared inquire of him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus comes and takes the bread, and gives it to them and the fish in like manner. This is already the third time that Jesus has been manifested to the disciples, being risen from among the dead. I was just thinking of how the Lord manifests himself. I'm not saying we were reading on this. We spoke of how the Lord would make himself known to his own, and the world would not see him. And just on these two occasions where the Lord draws near to the disciples, and they're both quite different and both very similar. They're similar in the fact the Lord draws near to them and recovers them. They're different in the fact that in the one the Lord gets into their boat, and in the second they bring the boat to him. And just thinking of that fact that the Lord in the first, there'd been a wee bit of contention between the disciples and the Lord. The Lord had had compassion upon the crowd, and the disciples at the end had said that they should send them away. Now that was not the Lord's mind, it was not of the Spirit, not of the compassions of the one who loved those crowd as being with a sheep, a flock without a shepherd. And they missed that part of the Lord's mind, I think. And as a result, the Lord sends them on the boat away without him, while he dismissed the crowds. So look at the note there, it says, as bid adieu. It was not a formal dismissal, it was a loving dismissal. As they set the crowd on their way. And the disciples had to go out alone, without the Lord. It wasn't that the Lord wasn't watching over them, he was praying for them. But he wasn't with them. And they fought on in their own strength. And there came the point when the Lord then walked on the water to meet them. In a condition, you might have said, that was beyond what we could have thought of naturally, he walked on the waters and entered into their circumstances. I love that thought, the Lord's love, as he enters into our circumstances. It wasn't that he entered in at their level. He came in all his moral glory. There was a distinctiveness about the way the Lord enters into our circumstances, which is beyond our own thoughts. Their thought was it was an apparition, but it was the Lord. And the Lord walked on the water, and he came into their circumstances. And they cried out in fear, and it made as if he would have passed them by. There was that moral high ground, if you like, the Lord occupied, that he would never leave, and yet he was able to enter into the boat. They cried out, and he said, "It is I, be not afraid." There was no fear there, there was compassion. They had been brought to the end of their own strength. They were struggling in that storm. They were not getting anywhere. And the Lord came up and he says, "It is I, be not afraid." He entered into their circumstances and he was found in the boat. And immediately everything became calm. They came to the other side. And then in John 21, there were these 7 disciples of the remaining 11 after Judas Iscariot. I suppose 7 means there was a majority. I suppose we can often say that the majority of us will often have this same weakness. We will have something that will lead us away from the Lord, that will distract us. There would be very few, I think, would be found in that minority that wouldn't have such a problem. And they go to fish. And they labour all night. The Lord wasn't there. They laboured all night and they took nothing. The Lord says to them, he doesn't say, "Have you caught any fish?" He says, "Have you any food?" Of that thought, and the authorised says, "Have you any meat?" It's more than just the fish. He said, "Have you got anything?" It reminds you of the Lord as he sat down at the well and said to that woman in John 4, "You know, give me to drink," and she had nothing to give him. And the Lord would say the same thing to us, "Give me to drink," or he says here, "Have you any food?" And the question is, have we got anything for him? And their answer was no. They'd been filled with their own strength as they sought to fish, and they laboured at it all night, and they'd come with nothing, back with nothing. They didn't know it was the Lord, though. And I think it's so wonderful, you know, sometimes when we get into a situation where we are doing everything in our own strength, and the Lord enters in, and we don't actually recognise that it is the Lord. But he gives his command, and we follow it, and we see the results. And the results astound us so much more than they could ever have possibly done had we achieved them by our own strength. They go beyond our wildest expectations. I don't know how many fish they were expecting to catch, but they weren't expecting 153. Or 253, was it? How could they possibly have expected that? And yet the Lord told them, he says, "You will find." And they followed the instruction and they find. I think it's wonderful, you know, the Lord gives us instruction and we follow it. And that's how we recognise where the Lord wanted us to be. The Lord in this time didn't enter into the boat with them. He was on the shore. He was separate from them. Separate from anything that would be regarded as their own strength. He didn't enter into the boat until they appealed to him and he entered in. It was on his basis that he entered into that boat. And it was on his basis here that he appealed to them and gave them the fishes. It was in his strength, the thought of already, it required his strength to be able to do that. And then they recognised that it was the Lord. How often that is like ourselves, isn't it? The Lord manifests himself and then we recognise that it is the Lord. The two going to Emmaus didn't recognise until they broke the bread. How wonderful the Lord enters into our circumstances and gives us what we require. And then Peter has that affection, he dives in and makes for the shore, and the others follow in the boat. And it comes to the point then where the Lord says, "Bring of the fishes that you have." There was fire coals there. There were fishes already laid out on them. You might have said the Lord had provided them with what they needed, but he took of what he had provided them on the boat as well. I think it's always good to think of the fact that when we labour in our own strength, we gain nothing. When we labour under the Lord's direction, the results far exceed our wildest expectations. And then we come to the shore, and the Lord is standing there in resurrection power, and he has his own food that he gives. Not that he's given us as we've laboured, but something particularly special, I think, of his person. And he says, at that point, he says, "Come and dine." He doesn't say, "Come and eat." He doesn't say, "Come and feast yourselves." He says, "Come and dine." There's almost a sense of relaxation and restfulness there, isn't there? And the enjoyment of the food that was given. It wasn't simply just, I'm sure as fishermen they had all sorts of manners, I'm quite sure, but that the Lord said, come and dine. And he was dining with them. He was there with thought of that. Come in and sup with me. He with me. You know, as the Lord brought them in, he manifested himself. And he said, come and dine with me. And there they were found dining with the Lord. And I like to think of that as an eternal picture. It's where, really where John leaves us, isn't it? That dining with the Lord and the attachment to him. You know, the strength that the Lord gives should be more to us than anything else. The affection that he has. I think of Paul, he appeals so often that the thorn in his flesh may be removed. My grace is sufficient for thee. His favour, his grace. Not the relief from the pain and the sorrow that he was in, but my grace is sufficient. His person is sufficient for thee. Oh, that we might get to that point where the Lord's person is all that's sufficient. That as we pass through and we obey his instruction, he gives us all but so much. So often we're like the disciples, aren't we? And we go and do things without in our own strength. And the Lord has to draw near to us when we realise that we have no strength of our own. But then we find that when we get there, we bring what we've gained in life, but he has something that could never have been gained any other way than but came from his hand. And it had been cooked by himself. Something that he has for us to have from himself. And then he says, come and dine. And I like to think of that as being eternal. Here, we thought of we can sup with him. A time coming when we shall be, as it were, dining with him in eternity. And that scene will never end. The attachment will never be weakened that we have for him. And there was no question here of the Lord's attachment. Peter knew the Lord's attachment. He dived in, went to meet him. There was a question here of their attachment to him. But the Lord's attachment, the Lord's love for us, has never waned. It's been exposed, if you like, in the death on the cross. And our attachment is a bit that changes. And the Lord's desire is that we might come and dine with him. And that he might be found in us and with us. And that we might be found with him also. And maybe be so.